Thank you. Yes, so it's great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm happy to think with you together about something. It's true, Shira and I both put the word identity into our titles, not coordinating what's good or bad, but we're approaching it in different ways with different cases. So hopefully it won't be redundant at all. I will put the sources up on the screen, although you have them. And we're going to be talking about the question of a ger, a convert, and their recitation, the legal right to recite Mikra Bikurim. So I'll give you a quick background in a second, but I do want to say that obviously conversion is alive and well. I don't know most people on this chat, but it's not unlikely that someone here is a ger or has a ger in the close family. So we're going to be talking about it in the abstraction, but I know this is actually personal and meaningful to many people. As you'll see, the sources are fairly positive, which is a good thing here. But if there's anything that people do find troubling, I'm certainly happy to talk about it in the Q&A, or if you just want to reach out and talk afterwards, happy to do that as well. All right. So the Mishnah Bikurim starts Yesh Mevi'im Bikurim Vikorin, Mevi'in V'lo Korin, V'yesh She'enan Mevi'in. Bikurim, which of course are the really only celebration that's discussed at length in the Mishnah for Shavuot, even though there's no Masachet for Shavuot. Well, there's the other Masachet Shavuot, but the first fruits of the year, which would be ripening just after the grain harvest, so now early summertime in Israel, are accompanied by a kriya, by a recitation. And of course, this recitation turns out to be sort of accidentally one of the most famous recitations in the Torah, because it's the paragraph Arami Oveda V, which is made famous not by Shavuot but by its sort of reuse on Pesach. But the Mishnah says, look, bringing Bikurim is a sign that you own the land, you own the fruits. That's one category. But to recite it, there's a whole other set of questions that are involved in the recitation of a Mikra Bikurim. Because you say, Arami Oved Avi, right? My father was a wandering Aramean. And then later on, thank God for bringing us, the farmer, to the land, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavotenu Latet Lanu, which the Lord has sworn to our ancestors to give to us. So there's a lot of emphasis on the oath being to us and the land being given to us. And so the Mishnah says, Elu mevi'in v'lo korin. Elu mevi'in v'lo korin. Hager mevi v'eino kore. A convert brings Bikurin, full ownership of the land, but cannot recite that. She'eno yochol lamar, she'nishba Hashem lavoteinu latet lanu. Imaita imo mi'Yisrael mevi v'korei, which is really fascinating, right? But if the convert's mother was Jewish, then the convert can recite, which raises the question of why is this person a convert at all? Are they defining identity slightly differently than we do in normative halacha later on? But I'll set that part aside for now. Now the Mishnah continues. U'kishehu mitpalel beino levein, when the convert davens quietly, in other words, to themselves, Omer Elohei Avot Yisrael. A convert does not say Elohei Avotenu, the God of our ancestors, and instead says, the God of the ancestors of the Jews. U'kishehu mitpalel bevet haKnesset Omer Elohei Avotechem. And when he prays out loud, he would say, the God of your ancestors. And then again, V'imaita imom Yisrael Omer Elohei Avotenu. If his mother's Jewish, he can't say that. So that's the view of the Mishnah. But then we have another view among the Tanaim. It's not found in the Mishnah. It's not found in the Tosefta. It is found in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi brings a Baraita. Tani Mishem Rabbi Yehuda. Ger Atzmo Mevi'u Kore. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, says, no, a convert themselves does bring and recites. Oh, so the bringing, of course, we knew, but the reciting, why, how reciting? Matam. Ki av hamon goyim netaticha. Now, this, of course, is a quote about Avraham Avinu. Lisha avar hayita av le'aram, v'achshav mikan ve'elach ata av l'chol hagoyim. So the name change that God gives to Avraham in Bereishit Yud Zayin is glossed as You used to be a father and ancestor just to the Arameans. And we'll see that there's some textual issues here, but we'll just touch on that briefly. But now, mikan ve'elach, from here on in, from Genesis 17 and on, you are an ancestor for all of the nations. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, halachak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's against the Stam Mishnah, we hold here like Rabbi Yehuda. Ata uvda. And in fact, it was even a case that came in front of Rabbi Abahu. The Amora lived in Caesarea in the 3rd century, and he ruled like Rabbi Yehuda as well. So we have this other view from Rabbi Yehuda that a ger does recite the Arami Ovid Avi recitation. And it's explained as he can trace himself back to Avraham Avinu. And then the Yerushalmi very interestingly says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi strengthens this. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Abahu passed like him. Now, before we see the other sources, let's just think about what the issue is here. It's obvious, it sort of seems very obvious, that a farmer does not have to have a piece of land that has been in their family from time immemorial, Mimot Yehoshua ben Nun, in order to do Kriyat Bikurim. It does not have to be that this is the land that I got from my ancestors, which they got from their ancestors, they got from the ancestors, which was given to them at Kibush V'Nachala. That's not necessary. So the question about the ger's ability to recite it is not so much that on a technicality, this is not land that they were given. The question is, are they part of the group to whom the land was given? It's a question of group identity. So I know, Rabbi Kelman's sitting there in Toronto, so he's not going to know what I'm talking about. But for those of us who are in the United States of America, we have this holiday called Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is an American holiday. Now,
It's a Canadian holiday too. We just have it in October. Okay, I know. I'm sorry. Okay, go
we
on.
have a different narrative, so it doesn't work as well. The very, very few Americans can actually trace their family lineages back to Plymouth in that year in the 17th century. Right? But we celebrate Thanksgiving because we see ourselves, those who do, I guess, we see ourselves as part of the group for whom this is a meaningful event. So like we're part of that group. So we've converted into the group, so to speak. And I think conversion is not a bad metaphor for that. If you move in and you sign on and you say, that's my people, that's my story, then you're now part of the group. And the question is, does a ger, has that worked? Have they become part of the group? And of course, the answer to that will depend on how do we define the group. If the group is defined as going back to kibush v'nachala, like that's the formative moment, then the answer is going to be no. I mean, you're part of, what Shira was talking about a few minutes ago. How does Ruth change her identity? She says, "Amecha ami v'Elohayecha Elohai," right? Your people is my people. Your God's my God. I'll follow you everywhere. Now I'm part of your people. So that's great. Absolutely, your people is my people. Your God's my God. Absolutely part of the group. But does that get you a chelek in the land? No. One of the interesting things about Ruth is that she doesn't have a piece of the land. She would never inherit anything in the land. It passes right by her, right? Her child, her biological child, is legally Mahlon's child. So because he's legally Mahlon's child, Mahlon's Yerusha will go to her child. But she, Ruth, she's not part of this inheritance. If she were, we wouldn't have had the whole drama of the Goel. So that makes some sense. And as the view of the Mishnah, it says, a ger mevi ve'eno kore. Okay, I get it. The ger is amecha mi ve'lohayecha lohai, but not part of the land, right? He did not inherit this land. So what's Rabbi Yehuda's view? Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, you're thinking about the group entirely wrong. That's not what this group is. It's not the people who entered the land. It's the covenantal community that looks back to Avraham as a spiritual ancestor. If you can trace yourself back to Avraham Avinu, then you're part of our community. And then you can say, Asher nishba Hashem la'avoteinu latet lanu. The land's an afterthought. The land's a nafka mina, but the identity involves the covenant to our ancestors, to Avraham in particular. Because if we said Moshe, or if we said Yehoshua, well, Moshe and Yehoshua are not universal ancestors. Moshe and Yehoshua are very important, but they're particular ancestors. They're about Bnei Israel. They're about the Jewish people. Avraham, what's the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda quotes? Ki av hamon goyim netachticha. Mikan ve'elach ata av l'chol hagoyim. The point is that the ger is not part of the particularistic land-based Jewish community, but is part of the universal covenantal community that traces it back to Avraham. Avraham the monotheist, Avraham the covenantal partner of God. Now, I'll confess that this sounds like, as I was saying this out loud to myself and preparing this, I said, it sounds kind of vaguely Christian. It's often said that for Jews, peoplehood has a biological aspect to it, or family, whereas for Christians, it's spiritual. And this is actually explicit in passages in the New Testament. And John the Baptist says explicitly, don't say to yourself that we have Abraham, our ancestor, just based on the fact that you're born from Abraham. You need to actually be a child of Abraham spiritually. And Paul goes on about this often, that if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring. So Rabbi Yehuda and Paul are actually like thinking in similar ways. Like Avraham sets up an interesting model of peoplehood. Of course, Paul pushed it much farther than Rabbi Yehuda would. Paul said, therefore, you don't need mitzvot anymore. You don't need anything. You don't need brit milah. You don't need kashrut. You don't need Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda's like, no. You need all of those things, right? But if you accept all of those things, you're a full member of our community because the community comes back to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, as Av Hamon Goyim Netzaticha, is an Av L'chol HaGoyim. So these are questions that are being debated by the Tanaim, as well as early Christians. But the Tanaim are, of course, the ones who are important for us. Now, this question, which is, as you see, Machloket Tanaim, it's sort of Paskind already in the Yerushalmi, gets some really interesting traction in a very long tshuva of the Rambam. This is in the edition published by Blau, number 293. I assume if you looked at Tshuvot HaRambam before, you know that actually the majority of them, in Blau's edition, for example, have two columns, the Arabic column, which is the original, and the Hebrew translation. This one doesn't have two columns because it's only in Hebrew. And you'll see why I say that in a second. So this is a tshuva responsum written by the Rambam. I don't know the exact date, but it says to whom he wrote it. We don't have the autograph. We do have, as you probably know, we have some copies of Tshuvot HaRambam in his own handwriting in the Kairo Gniza. And if you Google that, you'll find like really beautiful photographs of the Rambam's Tshuvot, usually very short. This one, which is quite long, we don't have the autograph copy. We don't have his own copy of it. And we have copies of it, actually, in some manuscripts. So there are some textual issues, but it comes with a heading. She'elot she'sha'al Rabbi Uvadia ger tzedek mi Rabbeinu Moshe zecha tzedek lebracha u'tshuvotav. These are the questions that Rabbi Uvadia, the righteous convert, asked of our teacher Moshe, the Rambam, and his answers. Now, I should say that there is, just to clarify, there is another guy named Ovadia Hager, who's actually much more famous, who's earlier. He's actually older than the Rambam, who converted to Christianity just after the year 1100. This is not our Ovadia, not the one that we're going to be talking about. That Ovadia, who we know a good amount about, we actually have his memoir in the Kairo Gniza. So he tells us about his conversion. It's sort of a remarkable story. Also remarkable is that he wrote Jewish music. He basically took Gregorian chants and set them to Hebrew words. So all of this is a different Ovadia Hager. There's actually a fantastic website about that Ovadia Hager that was made by a colleague of mine, Professor Gary Rendsburg of Rutgers. The website is johannesobadiah.org. And if you Google that, you'll find it pretty easily. So that's not our Ovadia. The reason I'm mentioning this is, first of all, just to clarify that there, if you look up Ovadia Hager, you'll find this other guy who's much more famous, but not our Ovadia. Second of all, why are there two converts named Ovadia Hager? And the answer to that is that there is a tradition in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Ovadia HaNavi, Rabbi Meir is quoted by his student, Ephraim Miksha'a, that Ovadia HaNavi was a ger Edomi, was a ger from Edom. What did I just say? Ovadia HaNavi was a ger from Edom. I think I said that right. It doesn't matter. So because of that, and because Edom was later equated with Rome, And with Christianity, it was very common for converts from Christianity to Judaism to adopt the name Ovadia. I say very common. It wasn't actually a very common phenomenon that there were converts from Christianity to Judaism. But when there were, it was relatively common for them to adopt the name Ovadia. So Rambam's writing to Ovadia Hager, whom we know nothing about, unfortunately. But he says, Amar Moshe, we're not going to read the whole thing, but Rabbi Mamon, Mibnei Galut Yerushalayim, Asher B'Sfarad, Latzal, Higia Elenu She'elot Marana V'Rabana Ovadia Hamaskil, Amevin, Ger HaTzedek, Yishelim Adonai Pa'alo, Timas Kurto Shlema, Mim Adonai Elhei Yisrael, Asher Ba L'Chasot Tachak Knafav. So your question with all these honorifics reached me. On the source sheet, on the other source sheet, I did put a translation of this whole thing. So I'm not going to be able to show both of those at the same time, but you can follow along in either language. So let's just read the beginning, and then we'll skip a little bit to some of the key points in the Rambam's tshuva. So he says, Sha'alta. So you, a ger, asked me, Aliskei habrachot v'atfilot, b'incha levein atzmecha, o im titpalel b'tzibur, yesh lacha lomar Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, v'asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, v'asher hivdilanu, v'asher bacharbanu, v'sheinchalta et avoteinu, v'shotetanu me'eretz Mitzrayim, v'shasani sim la'avoteinu, v'chol keyotze ba'ilahe inyanim. Right? You asked me about all of these phrases. God and God of our ancestors, the one who sanctified us, the one who's distinguished us, and so on and so forth. So Ovadia Ger reasonably turns to the greatest authority of the day and says, well, what do I do? You know, maybe I don't know that there's this Mishnah on Bikurim, but what do I actually do? Like now that I'm praying, what do I say? So before we go to the answer, I think it's interesting. There's probably two aspects to this question. One is the us part of all of these phrases, right? Shinchalta et avoteinu, shotetanu, the us part, like literally, did you do this to us? Can I say that this is our ancestors? It's not technically my ancestors in a biological sense. But I think there's another issue here with the convert. And again, this relates to root. Who chose whom? When you think about these brachot, they all focus on God taking the initiative. Right? Think about every birchata mitzvah. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. God, who sanctified us with God's commandments and commanded us. God who separated us. God who chose us. Right? God took the initiative. God's the subject of the sentence. But in a really obvious way, the relationship between a convert and God is the opposite. Who chose whom? Here, Root obviously chose God, not the other way around. So not only can Root not say our ancestors, but it seems weird for Root to say, God, you've sanctified us. Actually, maybe this is even better, but it doesn't really matter. It's just different. I have sanctified myself. I've chosen you, God. The brachot are all formulated as God taking the initiative in the relationship with the people. But in a convert's case, it's the convert who's taking the initiative. So what do we do with all these formulations? The Rambam says, Yesh lecha lomar hakol kitziknam, ve'al tishane davar. Say everything as it is prescribed, change nothing. And he then goes on, I'm going to skip a little bit. V'ikara davar sh'Avraham Avinu hushali made kol ha'am hiskilam. And the essence of the matter is that Avraham taught the masses and enlightened them. And he's the one who is the source of our knowledge of God. And then he quotes the psukim from Bereshit Yudchet that Lamayin Asher Yitzavet Banav Et Beito Acharav V'Shamru Derech Hashem V'Gomer. So, of course, the Yerushalmi we saw already quoted Avraham, right? The Yerushalmi in Bikurim says the basis for a ger mevi vikorei is Avraham. For the Rambam, I think this is particularly resonant. The Rambam, as I'm sure you all remember, begins his Hilchot Avodat Kochavim, right? The beginnings of the laws of idolatry. The whole first perek, the whole first chapter of Hilchot Avodat Kochavim is a history of polytheism and paganism and then monotheism, which is entirely striking. The reason that you remember it is because it's so out of character for the Rambam to tell stories for an entire perek. But the reason I mention it here is that the key point is that for the Rambam, monotheism happens with Avraham. And his argument in that parak really is that monotheism is actually the natural state of affairs. People were always monotheistic from the beginning. Then along came this misguided paganism that misled people for a long time. But luckily along came Abraham and sort of restored the natural state of affairs. And the reason I think that's so important is that it means that for the Rambam, you don't need Matan Torah to learn about God. The Rambam thinks it's obvious that if you're just clear-headed about the universe, you will understand God. The world started monotheistically. It went in an aberrant direction for a bit, but was restored to its proper path by Avram, who just restored what ought to have always been the case. So for the Rambam in particular, Avram is really a significant ancestor, but also doing nothing innovative. So even if you don't think that the Ger can trace their lineage back to Avram, it doesn't matter. Avram's just indicative of every convert. Because Abraham discovered an obvious natural truth about the world, that there's one God. And if there's one God, we should have a covenantal relationship with God. So in that sense, Abraham is not only the ancestor of all people, Abraham is just an example of what everyone actually ought to be doing, which is discover God. And the convert did that just the same as Abraham. So I'm going to skip a bit now. Let's see. I'll skip a lot, actually. And we just want to come towards the end here. And he says, it's really a beautiful response. I mean, you hear the Rambam as a communal leader, not just as a halakhic mind, as he sort of piles on sources and quotations about the idea that a convert is absolutely the same as everyone else, a member of the community. Knows that he's speaking to Ovadia Hager, so he's not writing in the abstract. He's like, look, you're no different. Like, this question is a good question, but absolutely the same. Torah achat, mishpat achad yalachem leger gar itchem. And then at the very end, v'chol ma she'amarnu lecha b'inyan ha-brachot, shelo teshaneh, right? And everything we said to you about brachot, that you should not change the brachot, kvar ra'al yan lazeh mimasechah bikurim, right? There's evidence for this from Masechah Bikurim. And he quotes the Mishnah, which of course goes against him, and then says, "Vihi l'Rabbi Meir." That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Ve'ina halacha, and we don't hold that way, right? So you're a smart guy, Ovadia, right? I'm not going to pretend that there's no sources against you, but there is a Mishnah, but we don't hold that way. Ela k'moshin paresh b'Yerushalmi. Taman Amrina and Tani b'Shem Rabbi Yehuda Ger Atzmomi v'Kore Mai Tamei Ki Avamun Goyin Taticha L'Shavari Ta'av La'Avraham. Obviously wrong. La'Aram Mikan Ve'elach Av L'Chol Abriot. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi Amar Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda Ata Uvda K'Meid Rabbi Yehuda V'Horei K'Rabbi Yehuda Hinein Nitbarer Lecha Sheyesh Lecha Lomar Asher Nishba Hashem La'Avotenu Latet Lanu V'Shavraham Av Lecha V'Lanu U'Lechol HaTzadikim Lechet B'Drachav V'Huadin L'Shar HaBrachot V'Atfilot Shelo Teshaneh Klum V'Chatzav Moshe B'Rabbi Maimon Zatzal. So it was clarified to you that you should say which the Lord swore to give to us. Right? Again, the Lord swore and to us, and that Avram is ancestor to you and to us and to the righteous who were instructed to go in his way. And the same is true for all of the brachot and all of the prayers. You should not change anything, signed me, Rambam. Great. So that's his tshuva. It's really a remarkable tshuva, both on the interpersonal level and on the intellectual level. Now, it's not only the Rambam. I'm just going to wrap this up with two quick sources and then one last summary thought. So the Tosfot, we don't have this in our printed Tosfot, so maybe it's somewhere else, but anyway, it's in the Piskei Tosfot, Bava Batra, Ger Mevive No Kore, Rabbeinu Tam Lo Inyach L'Gerim L'Varech Berkat HaMazon. The Tanan, Kshemit Palel Omer, Elohei Avot Yisrael, V'Vet HaKnesset Omer Elohei Avotechem, V'Imi Mom Yisrael Omer Elohei Avotenu. V'Reperesh Lo Kaimalan Hachi, Ela Ger Mevive Kore, V'Omer Elohei Avotenu, Acheno Omer Atata Lanu, Alma Gerim B'nei Chova. So we have a machloket among the Balei Tosfot. The Re holds like the Rambam. So we don't have a tshuva from him with all of the bombast and rhetoric. But we do have his rulings. No, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda in the Yerushalmi. Ager mevive kore, and therefore absolutely can say all of the lines in tefillah and brachot and so on. Rabbeinu Tam, though, was not convinced. Rabbeinu Tam did not allow, conceptually at least, holds like Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah, and is the Mishnah Bikurim, and says, look, you can't do it, right? The Mishnah says you have to say Elohei Avot Yisrael, Birkat HaMazon, which we don't have time to look through, but if you sort of recite it in your head, you realize how often it says things about God giving the land to us, to our ancestors, and so on. And many times he said, you can't say this. Gerim cannot say this at all. So it's not unanimous, the Rambam's view. The Ri is on his side among the Baal HaTosfot. Rabbeinu Tam's against him, though. The Rashba actually quotes both views as well. The Rashba and Baba Bash are there, same place. First quotes the sort of Mishnah view, and then says, Miu Ikaman Damar, and of course he knows that the Rambam said this. Ikaman Damar, there is someone who says though, De Ein Halacha Kein, I'm not going to read the rest. I just want to end with the key point, which I said at the beginning, but I think is really the key point that's animating this whole discussion. And that's the question of not the technicalities of does the language fit or not fit, but the question of fit for what? What does it mean to belong in this community? How do we define the community? And once we define the community, we'll then know how to define membership in the community. So the more that it's a land-based community, the less a ger fits, right? Land-based community, that means inheritance. That means you have to go back to Yeshua. I get it. I'm not part of it. Fine. But the more we define it as a spiritual community, the more room there is for Root's model of conversion being an absolutely full joining of the community. Then once you say Amecha Mi Velohai Echelohai, the language is not the important part. The fact that it says Hernishba Hashem Avotinu Latit Lanu, don't get hung up with the technicalities. Just go back to the Thanksgiving model. If you're part of the community, you're entirely part of the community, right? I don't have to worry that the pilgrims were not technically my ancestors and probably actually would have persecuted my ancestors. I don't have to worry about that because I have joined this community. Right? And by joining the community, the language is my language. The covenant is my covenant. And therefore, all the liturgy is my liturgy as well. And the formulations, we have this as a general question, which I won't go into because it's the last 10 seconds I have. But, you know, this is asked in all sorts of cases. Does a blind person say Pokeach Ivrim? Right? Would someone not have clothes say Malbish Arumim? And so on. Right, someone who's a hunchback, so Zokef Kuvufim. And this is a good question. The question is, does the language really have to apply specifically to me? Or can I say something liturgically because it's my community's liturgy, not my specific liturgy? And the whole point of Rabbi Yehuda's view that the Rambam grabs, espouses, and amplifies is the ger is a full member of the community. And once you're a full member of the community, you say everything the same as everyone else. Tefillah is Jewish tefillah. Mikra Bikurim is Jewish Mikra Bikurim. Whether this particular word applies to you is the wrong question to ask, because as a full member of the community, the language applies to you. And that, I think, though, is the real question, is what does it mean to be a member of the community? And in Bikurim, we have this fascinating model of joining the community wholeheartedly and full-fledgedly, and therefore signing on even not only to the Hava'at Bikurim, but to the Mikra Bikurim. Right. On Shavuot, of course, we're all converts. So hopefully we'll be able to form a community and have a very good year of community in Torah.
Thank you. If you want to take 30 seconds and just comment on there, to comment on Mikra Bikurim, I don't think you meant accidentally the way they're saying it, but if you just want to take a quick comment, we'll give you an extra 30 seconds.
Okay. Yes, that's a very good comment. Absolutely. As you said, I didn't mean accidentally in the sense of, you know, randomly, but it accidentally became famous in the sense that the Torah gives a test for Shavuot, well, for Bikurim. And of course, it's most famous for Pesach. But yes, as for why it's in the Haggadah, I happen to think the Rav's answer is the best answer also, that it's the one story, the one narrative of Yitzhak Mitzrayim that's in the first person, that I was taken out, we were brought, and so on. Yes, thank you. That's a very good and important comment.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Dr. Kohler. A pleasure to have you back on this side of the Atlantic, even though, you know, New York's not exactly Toronto, but okay.